Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. No BS Bishop here at your service. I'm alive to love. That's my goal. That's the name of this broadcast. I'm the No BS Bishop, alive to love. I believe lesser values than love devolve and slide into the morass, the rabbit hole, the emptiness of BS, which is bait and switch. Maybe you have other ideas what that means, but for the purposes of what I'm here for, it's bait and switch. No more baiting, no more switching. Let's just live for love alone. I'm so honored that you'd give me half an hour of your life and time, all you beloved folks. And so I trust that you'll settle down, find a place to just rest a minute and tune in with me. And whatever time of day, week, or the month it is for you, just pause a bit. Take this in. I've got some nuggets of truth and some treasures about the beauty of love for you today. We do a couple of things here. Every No BS Bishop, just to stay between the white lines of the highway, right? So that we're cruising toward the goal with a sense of real purpose and design and just a great way to stay in a connectedness to what we're doing every week. So the first thing that we do is I share with you and have been sharing with you Love's Creed. This is something I wrote many years ago as a New Year's resolution. It was so powerful for my own heart and my own living that I decided that I was going to refine it, edit it over the years, and I've come up with what I call Love's Creed. So we'll repeat that together in just a few moments. But before we do, let me remind you that this broadcast is such a I'm so proud of this broadcast. We've spent the better part of 4 years talking about one subject, not two, not three, not four, but one subject, the subject of love. And because I carry such a deep sense of pride in what I trust is happening to you, for you, and it's serving you, I just want to keep making this as excellent and productive as possible. Send me an email, would you? At randydeanministries@gmail.com, all lowercase. Randy Dean Ministries is all one word. Let me know if you have any questions or just ponderings that you'd like for me to consider. I'd be happy to listen to what your inquiries might be. All right, let's get to Love's Creed, shall we? And if you want a copy of this, randydeanministries@gmail.com will be the way you can connect with me so that I can send you a copy. Here we go. I'm going to repeat it in full to start with. Then I'll come back like a minister at a marriage altar, and I'll ask you to repeat after me in short bursts. So here it is in total to start with. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, let's go back. I'll give it to you like a vow at a wedding altar. Just repeat after me, all right? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Those words feel almost poetic to me. And I wrote them, so I'm a little bit proud of it. I'll break my arm here to pat myself on the back. I do appreciate the gathering of some well-crafted words. I'm a bit of a wordsmith myself. So those words in this creed give us a mental picture, a mental construct for moving our life forward toward the highest goal of all human pursuits, and that is love. Somebody once said, you know, after we've conquered space and aerodynamics, we've conquered building buildings into the sky, one day we will finally have conquered the challenge to love. And once again, humankind will have discovered fire. I believe that. I really do. I believe that with all of my heart. Last week, I talked to you about the communication of love. Not a fancy title, but what a profound one. Really, I mean, this is so deep and wide. It is going to take perhaps a third broadcast on what it looks like to communicate with love and in love, so that love is what we speak, it's what we carry, and it's how we connect. So let me back up a bit to a couple of definitions that I shared last week and then go into some new material for today. Communication is the means by which we come to know each other. We connect through communication, and we come to fill our mind with who other people are through our connections and communication. Now, it's not just words. No. We don't communicate with just words. We communicate with every eye roll, don't we? We communicate with every hand gesture. I'm sitting alone here in the stadium. The stadium? No, not quite the stadium, but a studio here at the radio station. And I'm gesturing all alone. I'm just looking at a computer screen and a microphone in front of me, and I'm gesturing. My hands are moving. I'm communicating. Every body movement. Many years ago, a book was written called Body Language. And there is such a thing as body language. Police in investigations will call somebody in with a body language expertise to watch those that they interrogate as they're investigating a crime, because even the way you hold your body is communicating. The blinking eyes, the nervous hands, the twitching, failing to make eye contact. Every part of our body is communicating. So to that end, and by the way, every word is communicating something, right? So to that end, we need to call ourselves daily into an attentiveness toward our communication as it relates to love. Now, today is not coincidentally, today is the 49th anniversary of the marriage that has brought joy to my life with my bride, Ginger. 49 years. And no, it's not been 49 years of consistent bliss. She'll tell you that for sure. But it has been 49 years of love. And in total, it has been bliss. But there have been days when both of us have suffered emotionally and due to our unattentiveness to our communication. We have learned the hard way and through help and counseling to understand that communicating love in some way every day is vital for our sustaining our relationship. I've run across a few people. I have to say I'm pleased that it's not too many people, but I've heard a few people down through the years say, well, I told her or I told him I loved them years ago. They don't have to hear it every day. Well, I disagree. It needs to be said, communicated, connected every day. Now, to in case you wonder if I'm just saying, well, then you're insecure. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that in order to communicate love, We need a deepening understanding of what we're saying and how we're saying it and when we say it and where it lands in that person's mind and their needs and their neediness. So when I say I love you to my wife, I say it daily, sometimes fast, sometimes we slow it down like we'll do at the end of the broadcast today. And I say with full eye contact and attentiveness and no distractions, I say to her, Ginger, I love you. For what it's worth, that has become for her and for me the foundation of our growing relationship. Now, I remember, too, hearing as a young pastor, a man in our church talk about when he was a little boy, he'd stay at his grandparents' home sometimes. And he said, I was always impressed that my grandpa always woke up early enough, way ahead of grandma, so that he could go in, grind the coffee, make a pot of coffee, and pour a cup of coffee that was to her taste, that his grandfather did that every morning. And he said, I just determined as a little boy, I was going to be like that. I was going to make sure that I was up and I had a cup of coffee ready for my wife. Well, that ignited something in me. And I, unless I'm not home, which is sometimes quite often, I make sure that I'm working toward a good cup of coffee the way Ginger likes it. Because that communicates, doesn't it? Right? You hear what I'm saying? It's the communication by all means necessary. And maybe even words. Maybe even saying it, but also with every other part of my being. And again, it's not. Nobody's going to do this perfectly. But I'll tell you this. We're not looking for perfection, but we are looking for process. To process forward, to make a procession of love and life. Somebody I heard years ago say, if we would just put as much energy into our living in marriage as we do to our wedding ceremonies, we'd have better marriages. You know, the processional is what I'm thinking of. That walk down the aisle where we do it with intention and with real our heads high, our smiles on our face, right? Because we're communicating. Now, let's go further in this concept and in this idea of the connection of communication in love, that love is communicated by all means necessary and beyond the ordinary. We find ways to see to it that we're communicating love. I believe that love is communicated in every small matter. And that, again, we're not looking for perfection here because that would just be ridiculous. But we are looking for progress. We're looking for process to process this idea of communicating. To start with every human being, we should remember this, every human has been communicated with from the day, from the moment, from the split second they landed on planet Earth. Starting at breath one, we've been communicating, right? We've been crying out. When that baby is born and the doctor holds that child or the midwife holds that child or other means, you know, whether it's whoever it is that helps and aids in that childbirth, that child will begin to sputter and spit and cry because that's the beginning of communication. And so when mama hears that cry, hears that breath, that's that first moment. We cry and adults respond or react, whatever the case may be. And to that end, we have begun from that first breath forward communicating. It just calls us to understand that from that breath till this, let's be intentionally, authentically, profoundly communicating with our body language, our eye contact, and with healthy conversations. Being brave enough to say things that are hard to say, That's one of my life's challenges. I grew up in a dysfunctional home where addiction had been the disease that had injured my mother, father, my brother, and myself. And because of that disease that had so attacked us, we were walking on eggshells, or in some cases, we were walking in the middle of a bloody mess. So it challenges me to be attentive to saying things, even when it's hard to say them, to script things, to say it ahead of time. We all know it's a dangerous thing to just shoot off our mouth at a moment's notice, right? We know better than to just open our mouth and insert our foot. Well, we should know, right? We need to learn the skill of communicating ahead of the communication. Find a way, find some solitude, get away from other ears and say it out loud. Let yourself hear what you're going to say and make sure it's bathed and drenched in love. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. So if those are the words I live by, then let me soak my words ahead of time so that I'm not just shooting off my mouth, right? Oh, me. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me? Well, I disagree. I'd rather have a stick or a stone hurting me than words, because words last forever in some cases. So to have a script, to know what you were going to say ahead of time. I came across something many years ago that is a helpful litany. It's a bit of a filter when you're in the middle of the receiving end of a difficult conversation. And it goes like this. You start with when somebody says, for instance, as an example, somebody would say to you, "Well, you always act this way." The first thing you could say is, "I know." And then if that person continues, "Well, right, you know that, and you're always doing that." And then you could answer by saying, "Probably so." And then they could go on, and they might be getting angrier because you're not reacting. Get that? When we don't react, but we respond, we're putting the burden of proof on the person who may be in a verbal attack mode. So you start with, "I know." Then you go to, "Well, probably so." And then the third level could be this: "That could be." So if they're coming at you, first you say, "I know." Then they keep coming at you, you say, "Probably so." And they keep after you, say, "That could be." And then they just continues. The barrage is on. Oh, baby, they're ready to just lay you wide open. And you might say at that point, "Well, I don't know." And then if they continue and you recognize this person really just wants a fight, you can smile and say, "Nice try," and walk away. Give yourself permission to step away from the heated conversation. And the level of those responses, here it is. In fact, it's on a little 3x5 card right in front of me while I'm talking to you now. And they are these. These are the words: "I know," "Probably so," "That could be," "I don't know," and finally, "Nice try." Now, I've got a few other filters that I have worked with. And one is, "Tell me more." So when somebody comes after you with a hard conversation and a hard communication, it's important to recognize that, man, there's something on their chest. And if you love people around you and you're alive to love, and they're red in the face, their blood pressure is high, and your response in that moment is either going to escalate or de-escalate the conversation. So I think one of the best things you could say is, "Tell me more." And they may continue, but at that point they recognize you're not fighting, you're willing to listen. Now here's where love really takes place, right? Love is listening. Love isn't just talking in order to communicate. Don't make the mistake of recognizing or thinking that communication is just talking. Communication, I think, is more importantly listening. And then listen deeply. Listen with a love that holds you steady. And when you say to somebody on the attack, you say, tell me more. And if they tell you more and it does hurt, you might say, oh, that's hard to hear. You're not agreeing, and you're not saying they're bad. You're simply reflecting your reality. First you say, tell me more. And if they do and it's hard, you can say, oh, that's hard to hear. And then if they come down from that attack, or even if they continue the attack, you can conclude it by saying, well, thank you for sharing your feelings. Give me time to process this. Give me time to process this. Jesus taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus taught us to love our enemies. And if that's going to be the case, then we're being invited to a communication that looks a lot more like what I just processed with you here. That you can say, tell me more. You can say, oh, that's hard to hear. And then finalize it by saying, please give me time to process this. And you might even say, thank you. I believe that all communication with all people is possible when it's done in love. But when communication devolves into the pits, the ditches on either side of the road of hatred or just meanness or retribution or getting a pound of flesh, or you know what I'm saying, a sense of communication like a weapon, when communication is weaponized, we're doomed. We're really doomed in that particular relationship. And until love comes on the scene, until love shows up, that relationship is going to be stuck in the ditch, looking for somebody to come along and help me out of this ditch. Help me out of this pit. I am hurting. So when we hear people in rage or reaction, when we hear people in their, some folks are just venting. They got to get it all out. And sometimes when you open that vent, you can't close it. When we decide, no matter what's coming at me, and I can acknowledge that's hard to hear, but when we decide we're going to love, we can process, I'm convinced, almost anything, if not everything, somehow, when love stands guard over our thinking. Because the communication isn't finished until somebody's listened. And when I have loved enough to listen, well, now I'm in a place where communication can be healing and restorative. And that's the way I live my life. Well, let me bring this episode in for a landing. And what we do here to help us in the communication of love is two important processes. And one is breathing. You know, when we're in the fight, we don't breathe well. We're in short breaths because adrenaline is taking place. But if we can intentionally grab our breath, slow them down, take a deep breath, hold it against your diaphragm and count to the one, two, maybe three, if you can hold it that long, and then exhale. It'll help slow your thoughts, stop the racing heartbeat, and lower your blood pressure. So practice with me here. One, two, three, and on the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. Here we go. One, two, three, inhale. Hold it. And exhale. That exercise is so helpful for our emotions and effective communication. And last but not least, we're here every time I do this broadcast, and I'm challenging you to startle yourself and startle somebody else with eye contact and saying the three most powerful, holy, and charmed words in the human language. I don't care if it's Portuguese, Swahili, or if it's Chinese, Japanese, or English. When we say, I love you, those three words are full of power, especially when you say it slowly with eye contact. And yes, it is a little weird, but it's a whole lot of communicating healing. Look somebody in the eye and say it with that lilt that I just described. I'm looking at my wife right now as we always listen to my broadcast whenever we get the chance. And I'm looking at her right now and I'm saying, I love you. And even sitting here alone in this studio brings a lump in my throat because I mean it. I've practiced it for 49 years. And she and I have discovered that as we go through this life, there's nothing more important than love. And there's nothing more important in your life than love for neighbor, love for enemies, love for friends, love for spouse, love for significant others, love for the business people you work with, love for the medical personnel that you're being attended to by. We can find fault with anybody, anywhere, anytime. But when we love and we are communicating love, love is the means by which we come to know someone more than just on a surface level. Love is the way we communicate our connectedness to all human beings who are in distress or who are at repose, whatever the case may be. Now, I'm challenging you here every week to rise to the shining of doing something beautiful. Rise to the brilliance and the radiance of a life of beauty. And the most beautiful life lived is the life of love. I challenge you, go out and do something beautiful today and let it be known that you're a lover from start to finish. And when you are, beauty will follow you everywhere you go. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. And I'm so honored and I'm blessed that you came here today for this episode of Alive to Love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.